I'm going to turn to Revelation 9, everyone. Here on the front row here. Gerald, we miss you like everything, and we demand you move. We demand you move back. I got to tell you a story, and today's July 1st, 2018, and 35 years ago today, 35 years ago today, Kelly and I, with a 24-foot U-Haul with an 82 Buick Regal behind that thing, pulled up to Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, and out came 48-year-old Gerald Wright. And your hair was dark. What happened, Gerald? Oh, okay. Anyway, he came out of the church, and he did the same thing he did this morning. Amen, glory to God. I had never been in Texas before. That was my first greeting. I got crushed nearly to death by this man down here. And let me tell you, he was three times as strong then as he is now. Case in point, in our house recently, we moved Kelly's piano from the downstairs up to the upstairs. And so I hired three guys to carry it upstairs. I didn't want to carry it. They were struggling, Gerald, to get... Three guys were struggling to get that piano. So I went over a fourth guy to help him. And we did it one step at a time. One, two, three. One, two, three. And we set it down because it was so heavy. Gerald and his brother, two guys, not four, two, they picked that piano up on the parking lot over here of Honey Creek, which is now Sierra. That's where we moved in, Kelly and I, to the apartments. They were brand new, 1983. Gerald and his scrawny brother, Jackie, picked that piano up, the two of them, and carried it up two flights of stairs by themselves. They did what four guys were barely doing. We were having to, they weren't stopping. They were just like, one, two, three, up, okay, where do you want it? And these guys, all of us are like, ah. So anyway, these cornbread farm-raised dudes are strong. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, but 35 years ago today, Kelly and I arrived in Dallas, and man, we have been so thankful to serve God's people, and it's been a blessing, and I pray that God will give us 35 more years. I just want to go. I don't want to burn out, and I don't want to rust out. I just want to drop dead. Amen. I'll have another brain tumor in front of y'all and just drop over, you know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, Revelation 9. We're going to do a little review. We're going to get back. And, of course, Revelation 8 and Revelation 9 are very, very somber, very difficult. But let's look at this little chart we had here because I added two more verses to it today. Okay? We're talking about how the world as we know it will end. And we looked at this last week, the seven-year tribulation period. It starts with the rapture of the church. It ends with Christ's return to earth. Now, don't forget, this is the second coming, and this is the second coming. You say, how's that? This is phase one. He comes from heaven to the sky, to the clouds. Nowhere, and I repeat, nowhere does the Bible say that we go on to heaven. It's very, very likely that we remain in the air. We meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, that we are there with the Lord, and that he'll bring some kind of palatial tent or something. We're going to have, when we see him, what do we all instantly have, everyone? Our glorified bodies. We have physical human bodies in his presence, just like he's coming down with a physical body to meet us, and we're going to meet him and be transformed. We will be like him where we will see him as he is. So this is phase one. He comes from heaven, meets us in the air, and then phase two, he continues on from the clouds down to planet Earth. So it's like this, and then at the end of the 7 years, all the way down. These are both the second coming, phase one, phase two, okay? Because we are not told that he who comes down and gets us and totes us back up to heaven, okay? We are coming. Then again, I'm not going to make a big deal about that. If somebody says, well, I believe that, okay, no problem. It's not you know, the virgin birth or the deity of Christ, and we all understand that. And there's a lot of differences of opinion about prophecy. Okay, so don't worry about it. No problem. So we're raptured to be with Jesus. We saw that Revelation 6 and Revelation 8 had the seal and the trumpet judgments, the first 3.5 years. Then the man of sin comes, the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit, this demonic entity comes and indwells a human being. Micah chapter 6 tells us he's a Gentile, he's an Assyrian. That prophecy there, when the Assyrian treads in our borders, that's never happened. There's never been this entity that's come in and that Israel raises up these people against him. No, that's yet to be fulfilled. So he comes, he kills God's two witnesses that were bringing these judgments, the two witnesses of Revelation 11 that have been preaching every day for 1,260 days. He does what nobody else could do. That man of sin, once indwelt by this demonic entity, he goes over and he kills both of those witnesses. And of course, the world has a big party. They're giving gifts to each other. 3.5 days later, they rise from the dead. They ascend into heaven. And all their enemies saw them go up. So it scares the daylights out of human beings to see them alive again. But they go to be with God. So the man of sin, after he kills the two witnesses, he proceeds into the temple in Jerusalem and he desecrates it. Jesus says, when you see, Matthew 24:15 right here, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel standing in the holy place, then flee into the mountains. Get out of Judea, flee into the mountains, because then, Matthew 24:21, there will be great tribulation. Now watch this. I added two things on the bottom since last time. These, Matthew 24:8, are the beginning of sorrows, or in Greek, the beginning of labor pains. Ladies, you know when you start having labor pains, they're not these full-throttled, great tribulation labor pains. They're, and you know what? You realize, hey, gonna have a baby. They are starting. And they're still rough as they begin. But that's just the beginning, 3.5 years. And these judgments result in half of humanity losing their lives in the first half. So if there's 6 billion people on earth, 3 billion people have died because God's coming in judgment. But watch this. These are the beginning of labor pains. But Jesus says, when you see this man of sin standing in the holy place, get out, because then, last 3.5 years, there will be great tribulation, which has never been on the earth, nor ever shall be on the earth. Now look, everybody. 50%, I don't know how many percent, but a huge percentage of Christianity thinks all of this is spiritual. They don't believe that there's going to be a real man of sin. They don't believe there's real judgments falling on the earth. They believe it's all allegorical, mystical, that it's just showing you the battle between good and evil. But folks, that's just not true, okay? The prophecies of the Old Testament, the ones that have been fulfilled, they've been fulfilled literally, not spiritually. They've really happened. Behold, a virgin will be with child and shall bring forth a son. Yeah, but that's just spiritual. It's not a real son. Hey, aren't you thankful it was a real son and a real virgin? Yeah, okay. So the Bible will be fulfilled literally, okay? And I realize there's metaphors and there's similes and there's symbolism and there's allegory. I realize that. But you know what? The context tells us when it's symbolical. Like last week, they'll be like this, they'll be like this, they'll be like this, they'll be like this. That's symbolical. It's telling us it's symbolism. But when it says there's going to be two preachers preaching, and like Moses of old, hey, listen, did Moses bring judgments on Israel, on Egypt that were mystical and were spiritual? Were those spiritual plagues coming down? No way. Did God rain spiritual fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah? No. You get that, everybody? This isn't spiritual like half of Christianity says it is. And there's so many crazy things out there. And you know what they all do? All these super intellectual Bible scholars, they write books and they say, all those Bible-toting, cornbread and beans Christians that believe this is going to happen, man, they mock us to no end. But let me just tell you, Jesus is coming in person. And those angels are going to be blowing those trumpets, and these judgments are going to be falling in reality, not spiritually. So they can mock all they want to. But if the Old Testament prophecies that have been fulfilled have been fulfilled literally, these things are going to be coming. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when people are saying peace and safety, Jesus said everything's going to be like Noah. He was building the ark 120 years. People were eating. They were drinking. They were getting married. They were giving children away in marriage till the day Noah went on the ark. Life was continuing on, but 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, when they say peace and safety, everything's great, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Wow. Doesn't the Bible just fit together? What Jesus said, Paul said. He said, sudden destruction. Hey, did it start raining 50 years into building the ark and then the real floods came 170 years later? No. God shut the door of the ark. It hadn't ever rained. And God shut the door on the ark, and then all of a sudden, boom, the windows of heaven and the earth erupted and all chaos broke out. So folks, I just want you to know that God is trying to wake mankind up. He's going to bring an alarm clock in, and he says, I don't want to see 7 or 8 billion people, or let's say it's 200 years from now. I don't think it'll be that long, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be, they say by 2050, the world will have 12 to 15 billion people. But let's say there's 7 or 8 billion people, or 12 or 15. God does not want anyone to die. He doesn't want them to perish. He doesn't want them to die without Christ. Okay? And so he's ringing the alarm clock with the rapture, taking all the saints off the earth, and he's ringing the alarm clock for the world. And of course, last week, God whispers to us in our pleasures, C.S. Lewis said, quietly whispers to us, aren't I good? Don't I love you? Don't I take care of you? He just whispers that to us. Love me back. Bless me with your love back. He whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience. You hear a sermon, and you're like, oh boy, God got me today. Whew. Man, I need to do some repenting today. That's been going on too long. By the way, you all know that repentance is for stuff that's been going on for too long. Confession is when God just makes you aware of something. But repentance is something you've been hanging on to and you need to do a 180, okay? There's a little difference there, okay? Confession, he just wants us to admit our sins to him and we're forgiven. But repentance is when you realize, you know, God will, you know, you'll know it in your conscience. Man, you'll just say, whoa, I need to get on my face before God and have a big-time Gerald repentance session with God and shed some tears about how I've been dealing, how I've been listening to God. And okay, so we all get that. We all need that from time to time. So he speaks to us in our conscience, but look what he uses pain for, everybody. He shouts to us in our pain. When we go through the troubles of life, he's going to take his megaphone out and rouse deaf people. Well, the tribulation period is God just getting his megaphone out and bringing pain. Hey, because listen, question, are unsaved people listening to you and I? I mean, like, if you talk to 10 people in 1 week, Gerald, about the gospel, do all 10 of them get saved now? In these days, do? If you give the gospel to 10 people in 1 week, do all 10 of them instantly get saved now? Not anymore. Maybe at one time. Yeah. Yeah, he said, I'd go out in one day. I'd lead 6 people to the Lord. But he says, nowadays, people look at you like a deer staring into headlights. They don't know what you're talking about. And you know what? Our world has changed. And so what I'm saying is that God will say, I can't let 8 billion people go to hell. So he pulls his megaphone out. And by that, megaphone is symbolizing these judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. By the way, let me point something else out to you. And ladies, you'll relate to this. Let me go back. These are the beginning of labor pains. They start off small, and don't they increase until the very point of birth? Yeah, and then as you go, these bowl judgments, probably these judgments, these seven judgments, are taking place toward the end of the 7 years, probably. They're probably spread across. Let's say they might begin here or somewhere. But those seven are spread across and probably mostly at the end, because right here, the man of sins, he's instituting the mark of the beast. He's starting this new system, computerized system, where everybody in their hand or their forehead has to have his mark. It might be an implant. It might be a chip. But you can't buy anything and you can't sell anything unless you can scan that puppy on your computer or at the grocery store. Won't be any need for banks, credit cards. It's going to be in you or on you. And people that try to go and buy without that, man, they'll haul them off and maybe decapitate them. I mean, listen, the man of sin's not going to be playing games, because he's going to say, the problem with this world is people who are following those two stupid witnesses from the first 3.5 years who served that demigod, Jehovah, Jesus, whatever you want to call him. It's a bunch of hooey. Jesus is not returning, but he's going to do it much more sophisticated and much more suave than that. But you get the idea. He wants genocide. He wants all Christians removed from planet Earth. Okay? Children of God. That's the genocide. And so this is going to, from the rapture, as you go across the 7 years, the pains and the megaphone will get louder and louder, and the pains will get worse and worse. Why? Because God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, and so he's trying to wake them up and say, listen, before it's too late. Now, let's look today at how people take some of the most intense. We're only looking at one trumpet today because we've already done the first six. We're going to review them, though, okay? God's going to turn up the heat. Okay, do not try this at home. I showed you last week, do not try this at home. Don't set your heater at 168 degrees because you'll soon die in your own home. But anyway, God's going to turn up the heat in the tribulation period. First trumpet we saw, vegetation is burned. Okay, there's a horrible, the trumpet. And by the way, the first four hit the ecosystem. The next two hit human beings. The first four ruin the ecosystem and make life miserable, okay? But then the next two literally hit people's bodies, okay? Next one, the oceans are disrupted, okay? Sea creatures as well as humans die, okay? The rivers are poisoned. People go and drink the water and they die because it's been poisoned supernaturally. The fourth trumpet, Revelation 8:12. The sun and the moon are darkened for 8 hours a day. That messes everything up on earth. Everything's going haywire. And you know what? God is shouting at mankind. Because why? The two witnesses are like Moses. Hello, everybody. Tomorrow, God is going to darken the sun and the moon and all the stars for 8 hours a day. They're prophets. They're giving everybody a heads up just like Moses did. Moses gave Pharaoh and his kingdom a heads up, but they didn't listen. They didn't take it. And they're going to do that for 3.5 years. They're going to prophesy, and it's going to come true. They're going to prophesy, and it's going to become true. Now, most people should say, wow, they're saying it today, and tomorrow it's coming true. That must be the true God. But guess what? People love sin. And they don't want to give up their sin. They love the creature and the creation more than the creator, who's blessed forever, Romans says. And so they just keep on keeping on, and they won't repent, they won't turn. So God just keeps turning up the thermostat, making life more and more miserable. Not because God's a sadist, but because he's trying his best to get people to say, would you please listen to me? But we find out that not too many do. They would not repent. We're going to get to the end of Revelation 9 here, okay? So, when you get to the end of Revelation 13, we saw this last week, I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Misery, misery, misery to the inhabitants of the earth. By the way, the phrase the inhabitants of the earth throughout the book of Revelation is always referencing unbelievers. Never once references believers. Woe to those unsaved people because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet. The last three trumpets, 5, 6, and 7, are particularly heinous. They are particularly painful. We looked at two of them last week. Woe to the inhabitants, or one last week. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Now we saw last week that fifth one. Now those first four trumpets, they were attacking the ecosystem. Now these demons are loose. And remember, he compares them to locusts. He says they're like a swarm, just like in Egypt. They covered, Gerald, the whole sky, so it blackens the sky. But everybody, these locusts aren't little bugs that are like grasshoppers in your backyard. These are demonic entities. And when they attack human beings, it's like getting stung by a scorpion. But the scorpion sting doesn't last for 1 day or 2 days. The scorpion sting lasts for 5 months. And they're incapacitated. It says people will long to die, but they can't. So apparently it immobilizes people when these demonic entities, when the humans try to connect, possibly sexually, like Genesis 6, with the demons. They have the hair of a beautiful woman, but they've got the teeth of a lion symbolism. They look beautiful, and the humans connect with them because they're beautiful, but then the lion's teeth come out like a scorpion stinging them, and they're immobilized physically. They can't stab themselves, they can't take pills, but they're sitting there for 5 months, conscious, suffering, but they can't kill themselves, and they can't get rid of the pain. Okay? Horrible. But still, look, does God say he immobilizes them till after the tribulation period is over and they can't do anything anymore about getting saved? No, he only mobilizes them for 5 months because God's trying to wake these people up. God is a God of love and grace and mercy. But sometimes, hey, listen, in our lives, throughout our lives, hasn't God had to bring the hammer down on us sometimes? Thanks, I needed that, Lord. Yeah, he just lets us go down the tubes because we're not listening to them. And okay, it's everybody. Man, we're sinning away. And God says, no, 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 no. You hearing me? No, I'm having too much fun. Okay, boom, then he brings it. Okay, we all been there, okay. So demons are loosed. Now, let's pick it up here at verse 12. We're gonna do 12 through 21, and it's 11:40. Okay, let's go for this, okay. One woe, that's the demons we just talked about, is past. One miserable woe is past. Behold. Remember I said earlier in Revelation, behold in the Bible is alert, alert, look, 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 look. One woe is past, look, be alert. Two more woes are coming after these. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. What is that? That's the altar of incense. Okay. The prayers that have been going up, God's hearing those prayers. God, how long, O Lord? We're dying down here, Lord. The Christians that are being saved and being decapitated by the man of sin, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, says his modus operandi, he's a Gentile, he's a Middle Eastern Assyrian. They take people's heads off. Okay? And they're chopping heads off of believers. I saw the souls who were beheaded, Revelation 20, verse 4. I saw the souls of the people who were beheaded for the testimony of Christ. Okay, the sixth angel sounded. I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Okay, so right now, everybody, they're invisible. We don't know where they're at. But somewhere in the Euphrates River, there are four demonic entities that are chained there. They're invisible, don't forget. So they're not wearing literal handcuffs. They're chained by God. Being chained by God, like when the devil is chained for 1,000 years, that means God's put his spiritual handcuffs on him. He can't do what he wants to do for 1,000 years. These angels have not been able to do what they want to do because they're chained, they're bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year, God's got the timing right on track, they were released They were released. They were released to kill a third of mankind. Wow, no wonder the angel said, "Whoa, whoa." Hey, you know what, everybody? In our day, 20 people are shot to death at a bar or at a school or you name it. And to us, that's like beyond the pale. In this future day, God says, look, there's people on earth that have heard my witnesses. We're still in the first half. They've heard my two witnesses for almost 3.5 years. I've spoken to their hearts. The Holy Spirit's drawn them to me, and they keep pushing me away and pushing me away. And you know what, everybody? Everybody eventually dies at some time, right? Everyone who's ever walked the earth has been born and has died. Well, of course, got Enoch and Elijah. There's a few, okay? And so poor Lazarus, he had to die twice. You know, I'm saying, I hope I'm in the rapture. I won't have to die once. But poor Lazarus, Jesus raised him from the dead. He died, he got raised, and then eventually he died again, you know? So anyway, he died twice. But anyway, what I'm saying, everybody, is this, is that these are people who have just hardened their hearts, just like human beings do today. Gary, we're praying for people, right, that are on their deathbeds, right? You know, you have friends at work, their dad's on his deathbed, they're trying to give them the gospel. Nope, get out. They don't want to listen. Okay, that happens every day, everywhere. And you know what? God will just say, when we're supposed to be praying, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. God says back, when people won't say, thy will be done, God, God says, thy will be done. You don't want me? Thy will be done. Do you get me? The human being that rejects God all his life and on his deathbed says, I don't want God. I don't want your preaching. I don't want you around me. Get out of my room. Thy will be done. And so 1/3 of mankind, God says to them, thy will be done. You don't want me? I created you. I fed you all your life. I clothed you. I took care of you. Okay, thy will be done. Okay? So we understand. Now the number of the army. Okay, these were the ones that the demons released. Okay, we go back. They released, the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month were released to kill. Now the number of the army of the horsemen, okay, they were released and they've got an army. By the way, I'm going to give you a heads up. This is symbolical here, okay? This isn't a literal army. And we'll see again, like. He's painting a picture. He's having a vision, John is, and he's trying to paint a picture of what he sees. And I'm going to give you an idea of what it might be. Okay, I'm making an educated guess. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them, and I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. Out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. Because their power, these creatures, whatever they are, their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, multiple serpents. Their tails are like snakes, plural, having heads, and with them they do harm. You say, Pastor Bob, what in the world are this army, 200 million, going out? Here's what I think they are. I believe that they are possibly, this is just a guess, that they're probably, since he's using the word, they're like this, that they are, by the way, this is an actual microscopic. You could only see it under a microscope. And glory to God, this little creature only exists at the bottom of the ocean near the hydrothermal vents at the bottom of the ocean. It's got a big, long name. But that right now is alive on Earth. But it's microscopic. But look, it's got teeth, somewhat like a lion. And that looks very awful, doesn't it? Well, these entities, these little I have a feeling that these might be, this decimation of mankind that takes place, may be viral. Okay, we're all familiar with viruses in our lifetimes, like, for instance, Ebola. You remember that unbelievable thing that was going through our city, and especially in Africa. It was taking so many people. They were losing their life because of this virus that you can't see. So what John may be talking about, smoke and fire and brimstone coming out of its mouth, its tail, its mouth, they're like serpents biting. It may be like, hey, like when you look under a microscope, don't you see things that look really creepy and weird, sort of like this dude? Yeah, these viruses, they're all... And so John might have been seeing something like that, that these angels are releasing all over the earth that kills one-third of mankind. And again, you know what? It may be totally different. I don't think it's literal. I don't think there will be 200 things riding horses. That's not going to get the job done, y'all. But I could see something blowing over. There's things right now that there's diseases, there's viruses that antibiotics cannot deal with. Okay? And we're well aware of that. The medical community cannot keep up with the things that come upon humans. And they try and try, but as soon as they get one cured or one held at bay, then another one begins, okay? So like I said, there's no way of knowing what exactly this is. Antibiotics, the effectiveness are declining even against organisms we thought we had conquered. And like I said, could an airborne organism result in a plague that would decimate one-third of mankind? It's very possible. And again, this is grim stuff, everyone, but this is what lies ahead for humanity. Okay? Just before I close, I just have two more verses. But just before we close, I want you to know this, that there are believers that believe the world's going to get better and better, and the world's going to become so wonderful that Jesus will want to come back and rule over it. Okay? But you know what, everyone? That is not what the Bible teaches. By the way, like, for instance, I wouldn't hold your breath. You know, like, we shouldn't be looking to the White House or to the Supreme Court. Pastor Bob, do you want a good, godly, conservative justice? Of course. But folks, our hope is not in the Supreme Court of the United States. It's not in the White House. Am I happy for everything that's a good decision? And of course. Should we stand for everything? Of course. Should we vote? Should we get out and do things? Sure. Yeah, all those things are good. But let me just say this, everyone. The man of sin is coming. The tribulation period is coming. The judgment of God is going to fall on mankind. Okay? You know, make America great again. Do I want America to be great like it once was? Sure I do. But guess what? I'm not holding my breath. Because now our society has plunged into such evil that they go to restaurants and they basically say, hey, don't serve that person, works for the president. Don't serve them. Kick them out. Okay, well, there's a lot more than that, Gerald. But I'm just saying there's a lot of evil people out there that they're not content to just disagree with you and I. Okay, oh, you're a Christian? Oh, you believe the Bible? I don't agree with that, but you have a right to... No. You don't have any right to be in this restaurant and... Whoa, this sounds vaguely familiar to what was going on not very long ago in our country. Oh, you can't use that drinking fountain there. And by the way, one day there are going to be insiders and there are going to be outsiders in this world. And guess who the outsiders are going to be? Now, we'll be up with the Lord, but the outsiders will be whoever won't take the mark of the beast or the man of sin. There's only going to be two groups in the world. Insiders, they're worshiping the beast statue, they're taking his mark, and those who will not do it. And you know what, everybody? What we're seeing in our time today, it's hurtling toward that at light speed. Do I think America is going... Hey, is it possible for God to send a revival that'll sweep our country and turn it back and all that? Possible? Not probable. The the number of people that are coming into our country, the number of people inside the country who don't hold to Scripture anymore and all that. Listen, our numbers are getting very small now, and their numbers are growing exponentially. Hey, let me ask you this. When a college has 15,000 new freshmen at it, starting in the fall, how many of those freshmen are going in there and saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the Bible, I believe in holiness, in righteousness, in godliness? How many of those 15,000 believe like that now?
They don't come out that way.
Not very many. Yeah, you're brainwashed, Gerald. That's right. They've had 12 years of indoctrination. And folks, it's getting bad. So don't put your hope in the White House. Don't put your hope in the Supreme Court or in Congress or Senate. Vote. Help people win election. Pray. Write letters. Do all that. Don't stop. But I'm just saying is the Bible's teaching our world is hurtling toward the day of judgment and not toward this worldwide revival. In the last days, the Bible says, men will be lovers of God. And they'll love the Bible. No, the Bible says in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves. Headstrong. Traitorous. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, go down the list. Okay? So, let's read the last two verses and we'll be done. Just a real quick application for us to take home. But the rest of mankind, one-third died. One-third died somehow, some way. There was either some plague, some viral plague. Those creatures came and got people, and it was airborne, and it just swept the earth. But what about the rest? Do they look at one-third of mankind dying and go, oh, God, forgive me, God. Oh, I believe in your Son. Oh, God, God, I've rejected you for 3 years since this all started happening. I didn't listen to those preachers, but now I do. I believe in you. Do they do that? No. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. And again, you know what, everybody? Don't forget, America is only 5% of society, world population. 95% of people live outside America on the earth. And so we're looking at people that are crafting statues, people that are crafting idols, that are worshiping. In India, they're worshiping cows, and in other countries, they're polytheists, they have multiple gods. They would not repent of the work of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear. And they did not repent of their murders. Okay, they kept on murdering. Or their sorceries. By the way, that's a Greek word where we get the word in English, pharmacy, from pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals, they did not repent of their pharmaceuticals. What John was talking about in the first century is they would use drugs. They would go into drug-induced kind of, getting a high, a drug-induced high to go into their pagan worship. Okay? So they were using drugs. And that's why sorceries, it's mixed with the idea of drug use. And the Greek word is pharmakia, where we get pharmacy from. They would not repent of their murders, their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. They didn't fall on their knees after one-third of the earth lost their lives. They did this to God. They were flipping God the bird, shaking their fist at him. It said, we're not repenting. We're not giving up. We're gonna do what we want to do. You're not our creator. We are our own people. And folks, aren't people getting like that today? They're on TV screaming and folks, it's getting crazy. And that's what's gonna be. It's gonna continue 3.5 years. The seal judgments, the trumpet judgments. One-third. Well, by the midpoint, one of the seal judgments killed one-quarter of the earth's population. One of the trumpet judgments kills a third. That's one-half of mankind. By the midpoint, one-half of mankind has lost their lives. And look at how they're reacting to God. They would not give in. And so, listen, here's our application. Here's our application. Our application is this. When God turns up the heat in the future on mankind, they refuse to repent. And our application is simple today. Are any of us here today, and I'll include myself, are any of us here today, and maybe that there's something that's only known to you and God, and nobody else knows it. But there's something in your life that God, that you've had there for a while. Again, remember, repentance has to do, these people wouldn't change from what they've been doing their whole lives, okay? But maybe there's something in your life, man, like you would say, you know what, I know I do this, but I love it and I really don't want to give it up. It's my kind of like my one, I want God to give me a mulligan on this. I want him to let me slide on this. And so I'm not interested in turning from it because I have to have this evil. You know, it could be anything. You got, it could be pornography. It could be gossip. It could be, you know, pride, looking down on other people. I mean, there's a gazillion things it could be. But you just kind of like it. My grandpa was that way. My dad was that way. And I'm that way. And I'm not changed. Okay? No. No. God created you. He has the right to every area of your life, not just 80% or 85% or 95% or 99%. He wants it all. We sing that song here. He won't relent. We sing that over and over. He won't relent. And you know what? He won't relent in the tribulation period. And he won't relent in your and my life. Hey, listen. By the way, we see in the Bible that God took people that were his people off the earth, Ananias and Sapphira, people in Corinthians 11 that were at the Lord's table. We're not sharing our food with you all over there. This is our clique over here at this end of the table. God says, okay, you're not sharing with them, you're not sharing with anybody. Poof! And they're dead. And listen, God, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't mock God. Because whatever a person plants, that's what they're going to harvest. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So I'm just saying today, you know what? Sometimes in church, yours truly, who's normally mild-mannered Clark Kent, has to turn into spiritual Superman, stick his finger in your face and say, listen, is there anything in your life that you just, like, this is what we did for 5 days at camp, everybody. God's man, right? BJ stuck his finger in y'all's face and said, repent. And you know what? Sometimes just a good time of repentance. So let's bow our head and close our eyes, okay? And I want you just to do business with God. I don't want to know what it is, but I know God knows what it is, and I want you to do business with him. There's something you need to get right. Maybe there's something, a relationship that is not right. You've got bitterness. You've got anger. Okay, there's a gazillion things it could be. But right now, I want you to think. And if there's anything the Spirit of God is laying on your heart right now, just lift it up to God and say, Lord, I confess that. And not only do I acknowledge it before your throne, I repent of it. I'm turning 180. I'm turning around and I'm going to get this fixed by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God. And I'm not going to allow this in my life with God's help anymore. It's gone on too long. It has to stop. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the patriotic music. Thank you for our country. We live in the greatest country in the world with all its warts and problems and evils and sin. But Lord, God, help us to be the people you want us to be, Lord. Just glorifying you always in our mind, our hearts, everything, Lord. Please, Lord, flow through us, Lord, and do a great work. Bless youth, Lord. Continue to work in and through their lives, Lord, this summertime and vacations and everything. Help them to glorify you everywhere, all the time, along with all of us older people, Lord. Help us all to glorify you with every breath, with every word. Lord, that's what we want. I know that we fail, but Lord, we want to be that kind of believer before you. Lord, open doors for us to share the message of life with people. Open doors so we can keep one more soul from going out into a Christless eternity. Help us to take these little tracks we got here that we put out there for everyone to have in their car, by their front door, every place, on their desk at work, where they can have them, they're ready to put in the hand of someone and say, can I just give you a little gift? Lord, help us. Help us, help us, help us. And we pray these things in your precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you.